Thank you, David. I'm going to be looking at that passage, so do keep it open if you would. This is the second of two talks at the start of the new year, sorry, three talks at the start of the new year about money and giving. And the first question you might ask is, why are we talking about money? And one answer to that is that we're having a campaign to encourage ourselves to increase our giving at St. Michael's. We've raised a lot of money, as we know, for PRISM, our improvement project, which does include new heating, you'll be pleased to know. And that amount of money we've raised is fantastic and very encouraging. But at the same time, our regular giving has actually been sort of drifting down for the last couple of years. And mainly that's because several people have moved away, and often they keep giving for a while, but eventually they start giving to their new church and they stop giving here. And we've lost some quite significant givers over the last two or three years. So we will be writing to everyone on our membership list, the electoral roll, just asking them, or you, in fact, whether you'd like to increase your giving in line with inflation. Maybe you haven't done that for a while. Maybe if you don't give by standing order, you could think about doing that. Maybe if you're new, you could start giving regularly. And that campaign will culminate in the middle of March with a target of increasing our regular giving by around £30,000. So that's one reason we're talking about money. Another reason is that the start of the new year is a good time to sit down and think properly about money. Last week, David Harrison talked about how important it is to think intentionally about giving, to plan how you're going to use the money that God gives you. Don't just give whatever bit is left over at the end, or give casually to different things that pop up, but it's much better to plan and think, how am I going to use the resources that God has blessed me with? How am I going to use that wisely? In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, Paul says, on the first day of the week, each one of you, so that's all of us, each one of you, should set aside a sum of money in keeping with their income, saving it up so you don't have to make a special collection later. And I suspect for most of us, the beginning of the year, rather than the beginning of the week, is a good time to do that, to set aside some money and properly plan our finances. And then the third reason I'm talking about money is that money is spiritually very important. Jesus talks about money more than any other subject. Did you know that? More than salvation. 10 times as much as he talks about sex. And we'll look at why it's so important a bit later. But the point here is that the church must talk regularly and clearly about money and finance. I put this cartoon that you couldn't see on the screen last week on the back, and don't look at them all now, but reason four in why I don't give is the church isn't the place to talk about money. Well, that could not be more wrong. The church must talk about money. According to Jesus, how we use money is one of the key spiritual issues that we all face. So those are three reasons why we're talking about money at the start of the year. Then another question, who am I talking to today? And the first answer to that is, I'm talking to myself. You know, this is not me, the vicar, telling you how to look after your money. It's something that all of us, without exception, have to deal with. You know, we're all in this together. Old, young, rich, poor, employed, unemployed, retired, all of us have to make decisions every day about money. And those are spiritual decisions. We can't say, I earn so little it doesn't matter. We saw last week that Jesus picks out a poor widow, putting in the tiniest copper coin into the temple, and says she has put in more than all the others. So even if you have very little money, God sees and is interested in your giving. And we can't say, well, I'm giving plenty. I already give generously, so I'm fine. For instance, I tithe, I give 10%. It's all sorted. No, we can't say that. When they bring Jesus a coin and say, should we pay taxes to Caesar or not? He replies, give to God what is God's and give to Caesar what is Caesar's. Well, what is God's? Well, we know, don't we? We've seen it already in the service. Everything comes from him. We've just said that. All things come from you and of your own do we give you? So every decision we make is ultimately a spiritual decision about how we wisely use the resources that God has given us. I was reading a comment by a vicar who'd been in ministry for more than 30 years, and he said, over that time, people have come and asked me about almost every subject under the sun. But he said, in 30 years, no one has ever come and asked me about money. And yet Jesus talks about money more than any other subject. Another church had a series on the seven deadly sins. Lots of people came to lust, pride, and even wrath. But the lowest attendance was for greed, because no one thinks they're greedy. Jesus says, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. He doesn't say, be on your guard against adultery, because you can't be committing adultery and not realize you're doing it. Don't think about that too hard. But you can do that with greed. You know, so be on your guard. It's easy to deceive ourselves, isn't it? And living where we do, shopping in our shops, sending our children to the schools we send them to, or we find ourselves surrounded by lots of people who've got a lot more money than we have. And so we quickly tell ourselves, well, I live much more modestly than them. I don't have a problem with money. We can justify ourselves very easily, can't we, about how we use our money. I know I do. But we have to say the rest of the world isn't fooled. When people come from elsewhere in the world, they're staggered by the materialism of our culture and the comfort we live in and the vast amount we spend on ourselves. And so it's a huge issue for me and for you and for every one of us. So let's not fool ourselves, it's someone else's problem. I'm talking to all of us today. We need help on this, and we need God to speak. And the good news is that God does speak. And we've already seen that Jesus talks about money a lot. But I want to look at some much less well-known words today from the book of Proverbs. These ancient words. Proverb is a book of wisdom. And people have been thinking and reflecting on money for a long time. And this is not just human wisdom, because Christians believe that God speaks to us and guides us through the words of the Bible. He hasn't left us blundering around in the dark. He's given us guidance. And so verse 5 says here, every word of God is flawless. He's a shield to those who take refuge in him. So I'm going to read verses 7 to 9. The writer says, two things I ask of you, Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. That's another important issue. And then today's issue, give me neither poverty nor riches. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. So let's think about that, neither poverty nor riches. He recognizes here that money is a spiritual issue. Getting it wrong will directly affect his relationship with God. And that applies whether he has too much or too little. Too much, and he can very quickly forget God, say, I'm full and satisfied, I don't need God, I'll disown you, I'll say, who is the Lord? I'll quickly forget about God. And we know that that happens all the time when we have plenty, doesn't it? That's the story of our culture in the last 40 years. But poverty is also a spiritual trial. It tempts me in desperate, wrong ways. I may be poor and steal, and so dishonor the name of my God. I'll steal rather than trust God to provide what I need. So although plenty and poverty are completely opposite to one another, they both result in the same spiritual temptation to see money as our savior, to put our hope and trust in money and not in God. Money is a spiritual issue for all of us. And that's why Jesus, in probably his most famous words about money, gives it a special name. He calls it mammon. And he says, you can't serve God and mammon. They're two rival masters, two gods. And you have to choose which one you're going to serve. You'll hate one, he says, and love the other. Those are very strong words, aren't they? And I think, you know, at first that seems over the top, and yet the more we really reflect on Jesus' words, the more we realize that there's great wisdom there. And way back in Proverbs, the writer sees the danger of both too much money and too little money. He sees that money is not just money. It has power over us. We seek from it our identity and our security, and it demands our heart and our trust. You know, all of us need to ask ourselves today, am I looking to money to keep me safe or to make me significant? So have you really faced up to the spiritual challenge that money provides? Because unless we do that, we might give away a bit more. When we get a letter, we'll feel guilty, or we'll feel we ought to. So we'll give a bit more, but our hearts won't have changed. And we won't have discovered the power of, or the joy of giving. We won't have been set free from money's power over us, because we're still afraid to give money in any significant quantity. So money has power, it controls us. And the way it does that can be quite subtle. Let's just imagine for a moment a husband and wife who have very different approaches to money. He's very careful about money, doesn't spend very much at all, saves most of it. And she's the opposite. She spends extravagantly. She's always buying new things. He condemns her because she spends so much. But she condemns him because he spends so little, because he begrudges every little bit of expenditure. He doesn't use money well. He doesn't enjoy it. But just think about the two of them, so opposite to each other. Deep down, I suggest to you, they have the same problem. And that is that they're looking to money as their savior. He's looking to it for his security, so he hoards it, so it will keep him safe. She's looking to it for her identity, to make herself attractive, to have the right outfit and move in the right social circle, and then she'll really be somebody. So they look to it for different things, but both of them are looking to money as their master, the one that controls them, that gives them their significance and their identity and their security. And the writer of this bit of Proverbs is wise because he recognizes the spiritual danger of money, the power of money over us. And if this talk today just helps you to wake up to that in a way that you haven't seen it before, then I think it will be a huge step forward. Jesus says it's mammon, it's a master. And we very easily find ourselves loving it and serving it and working for it, even though we don't admit it. So how do we break that power of money over us? I don't think we do it just by telling ourselves to be more generous. That will never work because it doesn't change our hearts. This is a spiritual battle, and so we have to ask God. And that's what the writer does here. One thing I ask of you, don't refuse me, O Lord, he says. And he really prays a do not lead me into temptation prayer. Don't give me either riches or poverty. But what he didn't know, and we do, is that God does something much more wonderful than that. God leads himself into poverty, doesn't he? God leaves the riches of heaven and is born in a stable, has no place to lay his head, grows up in a very poor family, never has a house of his own. He who was rich, for our sake, became poor. Jesus could have been born in a rich family, but he chose to be poor. And in the end, he gave up everything for us. Even his last undergarment was taken from him. And he did it so that we could have an identity and a security that will never be taken away from us, an eternal security. If we've trusted in him as our rescuer, our savior, then all the riches and glory of heaven are given to us. And it can never be taken away. It's an eternal security. And we have an everlasting identity. We're children of God, unshakably loved by our Father who will never leave us in an eternal relationship of love and care. So an eternal security and an everlasting identity. Money can't give us that, can it? And when we begin to see that God did that for us, became poor for us because he loves us, then money starts to lose its power over us. And we start to be free and we start to be able to give it away generously. It has to happen deep down in our heart. Otherwise, money will still control us. I read about somebody called Bill who lost a great deal of money in the financial crisis of 2008. But 3 years before that, he'd become a Christian. And he said this: if this had happened to me before I became a Christian, I would have hated myself. It would have driven me to the bottle and perhaps to suicide, because money was his significance and his security. And when you lose that, it's devastating. But he said, today, because I'm a Christian, I can honestly say I've never been happier in my life, even though he'd lost most of his money. You see, he was free from its power. It didn't control him anymore. It had become a little thing, as Jesus calls it. And that can only happen once God's love for us begins to fill our hearts. Someone said that inflation is a reminder of what money is worth in the long term. Nothing. In the end, it can't help you. Money can't give you a security beyond this life. And even in this life, as they say, money can buy you a bed, but not sleep. It can buy you acquaintances, but not love. It can buy you medicine, but not health. Don't put your trust in money, because in the end, it will let you down. Instead, do what the writer of Proverbs does. Look to God. Give me today my daily bread. He will provide for your needs every day and on into eternity. Of course, we need to work. We need to earn our money. But what are our hearts trusting in? Are we trusting in our payslip, or are we trusting in God, who richly provides for our needs? So the question we all need to ask ourselves is, has Jesus set me free from the power of money? And finally, let me just think about the question of how we deal with the money that we have, because all of us have to use it every day. We can't avoid it. What principles do we apply? I think these verses in Proverbs can help us when he says, give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. And we know that Jesus takes that and uses it in the Lord's Prayer. He says every day we're to pray to God, give me today my daily bread. In other words, give me just enough. Give me what I need, not luxury or poverty, but give me enough. Or to put it another way, a simple lifestyle. So our real focus is not on the things of this world, but on our eternal hope in heaven. Well, you might ask, what does a simple lifestyle mean? And that's a difficult question, and all of us need to ponder it and reflect on it and decide for ourselves. There's no rules or formula that I can give you. But I guess some of the questions we should be asking when we're thinking about spending money is, do I really need this? Do I use it? If I'm buying lots of things I don't really use, then something's wrong. If I've got a much bigger house than I need, is that a wise use of money? You know, we need to remember in our consumerist society the 10th commandment. Do not covet. Don't covet your neighbor's house or possessions. Don't always think I need more. I need the same thing as everyone else around me. Yes, I need a pension. I need to plan. I need to be sensible. But, you know, I don't need one that allows me a lifetime of extravagance. C.S. Lewis wrote in Mere Christianity, if our spending on luxuries is the same as everyone around us, then we're almost certainly not giving enough away. There ought to be things we can't do because of our generous giving. And so, again, we need to ask ourselves, what sacrifices am I making in my giving? Because if we do live simply and differently from those around us, then there will be money to give away, to invest in eternity. where thieves don't break in and where rust and moth do not destroy. There's no safety for our money in this world. Think about all those people storing their money and jewels and valuables in the Hatton Garden safety deposit box, thinking at last it's safe. But it never is, says Jesus. Thieves and rust will destroy and steal. Now, I know this is not easy about what we spend. And the question of what's a necessity and what's a luxury is fraught with difficulties. Where do we go on holiday? What car do we drive? Do we need a car? What kind of food do we eat? And I don't think there's a right answer and a wrong answer to this. We have to wrestle with these questions. But the key thing, just to repeat, is that God's concern is with our hearts. Where are we putting our trust? Where are we investing our hopes and our dreams? And we need to challenge ourselves on this, don't we? Where is my heart in relation to money? Where is my hope? That's the key question. It's a spiritual issue for all of us. And every day we need to go back to God and say, give me today my daily bread. We need to learn to depend on him. It's easy to fool ourselves that we've got it sorted. But we need every day to ask for wisdom about how we spend our money. And the start of the year is a good time to just step back and think about that properly, isn't it? You will get a letter if you're on the electoral roll in the next few weeks, which will talk about some of the principles behind giving. And I just want to encourage you to use it as an opportunity to reflect on how you use the money. Do talk to David Harrison or Stephen Hingston, our treasurer, or to me, because dealing wisely with money could be a real spiritual breakthrough for many of us here. Give me neither poverty nor riches, he says, but give me only my daily bread. Let's pray. Father, we know our circumstances are very different. We know we have many different demands and challenges upon us, and yet we all have to deal with this question of money. And so please help us. Help us to find time to come to you and to ask for your wisdom and your guidance for each of us. And help us to know that you do provide for us and that all that we do have comes from you. Help us every day to say to you, Lord, give me today my daily bread. And Lord, we do thank you for the good things that we have. We do remember that you gave them to us, and we do want to come to you and be truly grateful for them. Amen.